Hey, today we're wrapping up a series that we've been in for the last couple weeks called Misconceptions, and I'm so excited for you today to get to hear from our friend Annie F. Downs. Annie is, it's been a minute since she's been with us here at Buckhead, but she's no stranger to the Buckhead community. And so without further ado, Buckhead Church, would you help me give a warm, warm welcome to our friend Annie F. Downs?
Thank you. I came off stage after the nine and had called you Pastor Matt, and people were like, no one calls him Pastor Matt. Turn it up, people, Pastor Matt. Come on, I'll call you Pastor Matt. Oh, I'm so honored to be back here with y'all and to help finish this really important series on misconceptions. If you've missed the first two, I'd encourage you this week while you're out on a walk or doing your dishes or doing something, commuting, that you would listen to the first two as well, kind of get the whole series together in your mind. I'm excited to get to finish it up. If we haven't met before, my name is Annie. I grew up here in Marietta. I live in Nashville now, but I spent the majority of my life here. I went to Georgia, go dogs, sick 'em. And I love being a Georgia Bulldog and around people that like get it. So lived here for the majority of my life. I went to Georgia in the 1900s. So I was at Georgia some time ago. And a thing I want us to think about paths and how paths get us where we're trying to go. Much like you, I think a thing that would be true for both of us is I want to be on the right path this year. Like, the new year comes around and you go, I'm going to do this, this, and this. And what the bigger thing you're saying is, I want to be on the right path. The thing I want to remind you about a relationship with God is it is not a tightrope. This is a river we get to be in. And so it's not this skinny thing you got to find, but it's this thing we get to float with the Lord. But there is a path. Back in the 1900s, when I would drive from Athens back to Marietta, I had two reasons to go back and forth. One was to go home and the other was to go to the orthodontist, because I still had to come home for my braces when I was a college student. Back then, we didn't have phones. I mean, we hardly had phones, full stop. I think I had a car phone at the beginning of college. But what I have to do, you guys who are in, I'm 45, so you guys who are around my age and will remember this, there was a thing called MapQuest. Thank you. MapQuest, for those of you who are like, what? We printed off, believe this, we printed off directions when we went places on paper. Yeah, we just had it in the car. Now, the problem that happened between Athens and Marietta is there is this point where you have to decide, am I going to take 85 south to 75 north and go through town, or am I going to take 285, which is going to be quicker? And now we just know, because our phone goes, don't get on 285. Don't do it. Back in 1999, what would happen is I'd sit there and go, oh, which way? Okay, it's 3 o'clock on a Thursday. Is there a Falcons game? Is there a Braves? Like, which way do I go? And almost every time I thought, I think the other way would have been quicker. I bet the other way would have been quicker. There was always multiple paths, but they all got me home. They all got me home. They all got me where I wanted to go, but there was more than one way to get there. What if that is true about our lives? What if there are multiple reliable paths that get you where you want to go? What if for you and me, if this good location we're searching for is an abundant life with Christ? And what if there's more than one way to get there? Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. There is not multiple paths to God. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There is one path that gets you to eternal life, that gets you to the abundant life. But once you've decided that, once you've invited Jesus in to your life, is there only one path of abundant life under that? What is abundant life? That's a very like Christian-y thing to say, I think, that term. So let's actually look it up in scripture. This is John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Let me give you this little tip real quick. If you are going through something in your life and you feel like something is being stolen, killed, or destroyed, the enemy is involved. And that's when you can take a minute and ask Jesus to step in for you. If something is being stolen, killed, or destroyed. And we know that the enemy is the father of lies. So I'm telling you, about every day I pray, Lord, protect me from anything being stolen, killed, destroyed, or lied about. because that's what the enemy loves to do. What Jesus loves to do is show up and give you an abundant life, give you a bigger than life. I want to read it to you now. The same scripture in the Message version. I love the Message version to read along. I'm actually going to back up and start in verse 6 of John 10. Jesus told this simple story, but they had no idea what he was talking about. So he tried again. I'll be explicit then. I am the gate for the sheep. All those others are up to no good. Sheep stealers, every one of them. But the sheep don't listen to them. I am the gate. Anyone who goes through me will be cared for, will freely go in and out and find pasture. A thief is only there to steal and kill and destroy. I came, this is Jesus speaking, I came so they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. So what is abundant life? I'm guessing you already know the feeling. I think you have felt it at some point in your life, felt that like I am clicking on every cylinder. Whether it's out on a sport field, that sounds like, I don't know sports, sport field? Sport field. Oh, that's horrifying. My dad's gonna watch this. Out on a sporting field, that's not better. Okay, whether you are cooking with your kids or whether you are playing an instrument, maybe it's been sitting and having coffee with a friend. Y'all are much better people than me. I don't sit and listen to people very well, but they're like counselors who do. It's amazing. Maybe it's just sitting and listening. I used to teach elementary school. I actually taught 2 years in Jackson County outside of Athens and 3 years in Cherokee County. And I taught fifth grade in Jackson County, fourth grade at Woodstock Elementary. And I got to teach the water cycle and I made up a song. I'll teach it to you. Evaporation, condensation, precipitation, and collection. They love that part. They love that part. Those fourth graders love that part. I am telling you, the days that I got to teach the water cycle, I felt alive. I felt like my giftings had come together, like this was the thing I was born to do. These kids are getting it. They understand that water never goes anywhere, that it just goes through this cycle. And then when they're taking the test, you're watching them go, like, yes, we did it. They learned a thing from me in this 180 days. I felt like this was the most abundant life teaching these kids, getting to teach them something that they remembered. I just felt alive. And I thought, this is it. This is the abundant life. I felt so just joyful when I was teaching school, that professional path. And I knew I was living an abundant life professionally. I never questioned whether that was true. I knew that in Christ that I was in a place where I was living abundantly professionally. No one ever said to me, hey, listen, actually in Christ, the only way to an abundant life is to be a doctor. No one ever said that to me. No one ever said there is one path professionally that will be an abundant life with Christ. And in fact, I think, well, what I know is taught here at Bucket Church and what a lot of us believe is that we want our friends who are the aroma of Christ in every job. We want you in every job so that people can experience Jesus through you. So there's never been one professional path, and yet, while the Bible and the church have never told us that, we have been taught, or it's been caught, that there's only one relational path that is abundant. That if you are married and a Christian, that you are in the most abundant life God has for you. My name is Annie. I'm 45, and I'm not married yet. I'm single, and I am living proof that singleness and marriage are both paths to an abundant life with Jesus. They are both paths. I have an abundant life. Is this a life I thought I would have? No. 'Twas not the plan. Don't tell UGA Annie of 20 years ago that she's still single at 45. And yet, while I have always wanted to get married, I have an abundant life right now. And this really matters. It really matters in your everyday life. It really matters in mine. A couple of years ago, I was at a conference and Francis Chan was speaking. Have you ever heard of Francis Chan? He's incredible. But here's my encouragement. If you ever are in a place where Francis Chan is speaking, you need to leave or it's going to change your life. That's your warning. You are going to get messed with if you listen to him teach about the gospel. So he's sitting and teaching or standing and teaching, and he's talking about what are you willing to give up for God? And I'm just kind of like prideful, like, yeah, tick, 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 done, 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 you know? And then it feels like the Holy Spirit just dropped this question into my heart. Annie, what if the gospel goes further if you don't get married through your life? And I was like, uninterested in where this is going. Absolutely uninterested. Unsubscribe. No, thank you. I was like, what if the gospel goes further if I don't get married? Like, hey, God, I kind of work for you. Where's my thing, you know? Where's my dude? Like, I thought we were, what if the gospel goes further if I don't get married? So I wrote the question down and tried to ignore it. That doesn't work with the Holy Spirit. You probably know. I went up to my hotel room at the end of the conference that night and I just cried in my room and thought, what am I gonna do? Like, is there even like a Protestant nun option? I don't know. I don't have any idea. The reality is our Catholic brothers and sisters have a much more beautiful view of an abundant life for unmarried people because they have a path for them and we don't. We don't, right? I was like, what do you do? Just sit there? Started thinking like, do I need to be saving more money? Do I need to get some cats? I don't know. I was truly sad. And I thought, this is God telling me to let go of this hope, to lay down this hope that I'll get married. I get back to Nashville and I go meet with my pastor. And I'm like, Pastor Kevin, I think the Lord told me I'm not getting married. He was like, what did he actually say? And I was like, yeah. And I told him the story. And he's like, that's God didn't. Okay. He asked you a question. He asked you a question. I think the question's really important. Are you willing to lay down what you want most if God could do more with your life through that? I don't know. Fair answer, he said. Then I went to my mentor, Nancy. I said, I think God said I'm never getting married. And she's like, what did he actually say? I was like, I know. So I told her the story as well, and she said the same thing. This is why we have mentors and pastors. They are smarter than us. She said, I think God's just asking you a question of what you're willing to do. And ever since then, that's been about 4 years. It's really shaped my life. It's shaped how I've dated. It's shaped how I've made decisions to go like, what if the life God has given me today actually does more for the gospel than the life I would choose if I was picking myself? What if this is the abundant life? It matters today because if you are single in this room like me, if you're unmarried and you're seeking an abundant life, you can find it in the life you have right now. God can do more through your life today, more joy for you, move the gospel further in the life he's given you today. If you are married in the room, the same is true for you. Singleness is not easy. I've heard marriage isn't either. There isn't an easy path, right? It's 285 or downtown, right? There's not one without traffic. You're picking your traffic that you want. If you're married, this path is an abundant path for you today. And God can do more through your life today because you are married than he could if you were single. When we believe that about our own lives, when we believe that what God has given us is the abundant life, it changes how you live because you get more grateful. You start seeing things differently. It's almost like a catch-22 of like, do I believe that this is an abundant life? Oh, this is an abundant life. And then you start seeing that it's an abundant life. So you get more grateful. You start paying attention to these details and these opportunities where you go, this is uniquely possible because I'm single, or this is uniquely possible because I have a partner. And you realize nothing's an accident, that God's had his hand on you all this time. A few years ago, I had this great book idea. I write books as part of my job. I had this great book idea. It was the best book. And I wrote up the proposal. My agent and I sat down with my publisher, told him about the great book idea. And she said, look, he just wrote the great book idea and hands me the book that is my idea. I was like, that's my great idea. What do I do now? That was going to be like the book that y'all would be like, oh, Annie F. Downs is there. She wrote the great idea. No. That guy wrote the great idea now. And I was so upset. And we get in the car and my agent says, this is disappointing because I know you really wanted to write that exact book, but what does this make possible? And that question goes with me everywhere now. Because I'm not in my 30s anymore, I'm in my 40s. What does this make possible? For those of us that are a little older, what does this make possible now? For those of us with children, what does this make possible that wasn't possible before you had kids? If you're single, what does this make possible? It doesn't mean you always feel like this is the abundant life. I'm not talking about your feelings. Your feelings are allowed to ride. You should have them. They can even pick the music. They just don't get to drive. Right? We have our feelings, but what does the abundant life God's handed you today make possible for you? Let's look at 1 Corinthians 7, verse 17. I want to read this to you in the Message version first. I love this verse. And don't be wishing you were someplace else or with someone else. Where you are right now is God's place for you. Live and obey and love and believe right there. God, not your marital status, defines your life. In the NIV, it says, nevertheless, each person should live as a believer in whatever situation the Lord has assigned to them, just as God has called them. And see, it's important because when we believe that for ourselves, it shapes how we live. When we believe that for each other, our communities flourish. When we believe that God has given you an abundant life where you are and me an abundant life where I am, abundant life for everyone, the whole community flourishes. In 1970, the U.S. Census said that 28% of the U.S. was single. Over 18, so that includes college students. 28%. In 2023, that has risen to 46%. In two generations, we have doubled the amount of single adults in the U.S. There are more of us than ever before. It's why I honor Buckhead Church for letting us talk about this, because your pastors recognize that half of you mathematically are unmarried today. Whether you're never married, divorced, widowed, half of us are unmarried in the U.S. Marriage is good, and it is a gift from God. I'd really love to try it. Hope I get to. But what we have to do and what we get to do today, you and I, right where we are, is we get to right-size this misconception that marriage is the only path to an abundant life for a believer. There is more than one path. So today I'm going to ask you to do two different things. I'm going to ask you to put on your person hat, and then I'm going to ask you to put on your leader hat. I'll tell you when to switch hats. But first we're going to start with just you as a person. I just want you to think about the life you have right now. If you are single right now and you think, and I get it because I thought this too, if you think that like when I get married, then I'll really understand the calling God has on my life. When I get married, then I really can run toward what God has for me. When I get married, then I can buy a house. When I get married, then I can. That then I can list is pretty short. Just about everything else, you want to see the world, you want to buy a house, you want to run after what God has for you, you can do that right now. A couple of years ago, I got invited to move to Edinburgh, Scotland, to help plant a college ministry with a church there. And I remember thinking, I don't know what to do because I want to get married. Like, I don't know whether I move overseas or whether I stay, I want to get married. Quick note, there are actually men in Scotland. Lots of them. And they have awesome accents and they wear kilts. It's very hot. So I was acting like I was moving to an island where I never had a shot. I was moving to an island where half the humans are available to marry. But I had this belief in my mind that if I pursued this door that God had opened for me, that I was walking away from what I really wanted. And my friend and I sat on our porch and she said, She said two things. One, she said, I was in my 30s at the time, and she said, you could blink and be 40 and not married, and you've still said no to this open door, and God has not opened the other for you yet. And she said, this door is wide open. Why don't you walk through it? I had this belief, whether it was caught or taught. I grew up in church, and so I can't like remember someone saying this, but I had this belief that your life really got going when you got married. Part of that, and if you grew up in church, you might recognize this with me. Part of that is the way we were taught about sexual purity was like, hey, don't, and then you get married and you do. Right? Like, don't do anything, and then you get married, and it's like, let her rip, tater chip. All right? And so we all grew up with this belief of like, if I can just hold on till I get married, then I get everything. And the reality that you and I know, married and single, is that sexual purity is a choice for our whole lives, whether you're married and having sex or not. Because our married friends, y'all are choosing sexual purity in your marriage. Because you're not sleeping with other people, hopefully. Right? Like, you're choosing what sexual purity looks like as a person who is in a sexual relationship. Single people have a different choice about their sexual purity. So why I hope continues to be taught to the next generation is sexual purity doesn't stop when you get married. I think I thought, if I can just get there. And so then this whole thing felt like a race, and we were all on the same highway, and y'all kept getting to exit off and get married and have sex, and I had to keep going. And in that, I also wasn't knowing what I was called to, and I wasn't going to be totally fully in what God had for me until I got married. And that's not true. That is a misconception. Single friends, you can run after what God has for you right now. And it actually makes you more ready to be the partner that you want to be, not less. Run after it. And if you are married and you think that your single friends have to wait to run after what God has for them, or have to wait until they pursue that next degree or that next career or that next home, that next opportunity, you are wrong. And when you tell them that, it's going to break their hearts. I don't think a married friend would ever say that to us directly. But I need you, both marrieds and singles, because some of the reason the misconception exists in the church that marriage is the only path to abundant life is because the single people believe it too. So this isn't just a married person problem. This is an us problem. I need you to really nail down your theology of singleness. What do you believe about the single Christians around you, married or single? I'm going to give you a couple of questions just for you to think about your theology of single people, and particularly single people that are believers. Do you believe that single adults are less mature than married? Do you believe married leaders are wiser than single leaders? Do you believe single people are in any way less worthy or less loved or less lovable? Do you believe married people are more in the will of God than single people? Because what you believe about singleness plays out when you lead other people. When you're raising your children, when you're leading, when you're coaching, when you're teaching, when you're leading a small group, it plays out. What is modeled in Scripture for us are very successful marriages and beautiful marriages and very successful, beautiful, abundant single lives. Neither of them are problem-free. 85, 75, 285. But they both are abundant lives. I think about Hosea and Gomer in the Bible. If you haven't read the book of Hosea, or Redeeming Love by Francine Rivers, if you haven't read that book. But it's a beautiful story of infidelity and restoration. There's marriages like Zechariah and Elizabeth, Ruth and Boaz, Mary and Joseph, John and Andrew, the disciples, their parents' marriage is modeled beautifully in the Bible, and Peter was married. Lydia in the book of Acts is married. And there are really successful, abundant lives modeled in Scripture of singles, like, sorry to Jesus juke you, but Jesus. If you think you got to follow your calling once you get married, tell that to him. Mary Magdalene, there's no proof Mary Magdalene ever got married in Scripture. There's a story of Anna in Luke 2, and she was married for just a few short years, and then her husband passed away, and she worshiped in the temple and fasted and prayed for 80 years as a widow. And then Paul was never married. This is him writing in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 7. We're going to do the message first as well. Sometimes I wish everyone were single like me. Okay, Paul, settle down. Don't wish that on us. What are you talking about? Sometimes I wish everyone were single like me, a simpler life in many ways. But celibacy is not for everyone any more than marriage is. God gives the gift of the single life to some, the gift of the married life to others. Now, let me pause there. There are people who will say to me, do you think you have the gift of singleness? I'm like, I hope not. I don't think we need to put on any single person that the gift of singleness is from now until they die. Do I have the gift of singleness today? Yes, I do, and it is a gift because of what it has made possible. Because God decided that the gospel goes further through my life and he can give me more joy as a single woman today. So it is a gift to me today. But don't make any of us sign up for a life of singleness unless that's what we're choosing. The gift isn't eternal on this one. Okay. 1 Corinthians 7:7 in the NIV. I wish that all of you were as I am, but each of you has your own gift from God. One has this and another has that. Scripture calls marriage and singleness gifts. Do they both always feel like gifts? Of course not. The grass is always greener. I've had friends that were married for half my life, right? Like, I have friends that got married in their 20s. They've been married 20 years, and it has been hard. I think it's important to say to you, and thank you to my friend Eliza, who encouraged me about this after the 9 o'clock, to say to you that if you're wondering if your marriage is abundant, you should ask someone, a pastor, a mentor. If you're in an unhealthy or an unsafe marriage, that's not an abundant life, okay? You need other people to come in and help you. If you're having a hard time, let people help you, but marriage can be an abundant life. If you are single and you are not healthy in your singleness, get some help. If you're running to other things to fill a hole that it was not meant to fill. Listen, every time I bring Oreos in my house, I tell my mentor. I tell Nancy every time. You want me to tell you why? Oreos are not the problem. Food does not have any morality. If I bring food in my house because I have an emotional eating thing and I start keeping secrets about what food is in my house, I'm about two decisions away from making a big secret mistake. So if Nancy knows about the Oreos, I'm less inclined to end up Googling or texting or whatever. If you are unhealthy, that's not an abundant life, whether that's a marriage or in your singleness. Get help. Pastors, mentors, coaches, leaders, counselors. This is not the life I would have picked if I had like a menu that I ordered from. I'm not sure yours is either. And yet, singleness can be an abundant life and marriage can be an abundant life. My question isn't really whether you feel like what you have right now is a gift. My question is deeper about your theology of, do you believe that both are a gift? Do you believe that singleness can be a gift? And do you believe that marriage can be a gift, that there can be abundant life there? This is where I need you to switch from your people hat, that's just you, to your leader hat. I need you to put on your leader hat because what you need to know, especially if you are married and have been married for a little bit, what you need to know about your single peers is they are hurting. A lot of single men and women in the church are hurting deeply. They are hurting because they are asking God to provide for them in a way that he has not provided for them. And some, including myself, have prayed for this for a very long time. Many of our single friends are very hurt with God, and they're hurt with God because they were taught that there is one path, one highway, and we're all running on the same one. And the problem is they are hurt with God, but they were taught by us. when I spent significant time in my 30s wrestling this down, I very rarely talked to my counselor about my youth pastors telling me about how to date or a pastor doing a sermon about marriage. I was saying, why hasn't God done this for me? People are hurt with God himself, and he can deal with that, and he will make that right with them. But we have the chance to teach this differently now and to change the misconception that so many people have carried with them. The misconception that marriage is the only path to success and abundance for a person of faith. We are not all on the same highway, and married people get to exit first. In fact, that's not what Scripture says at all. It's important for us as we are leading online, where even on your Instagram, on your Facebook, when you are sitting with your children or your grandchildren, when you are teaching, coaching, leading small groups, it matters a ton to me. This is a personal ask. When you are sitting with your family and you're talking to your kids about their future, teach them that there are two paths to an abundant life. Teach them that if they desire marriage, that's great. And if they stay single, that's great. That God can use them in both. Please teach teenagers that sexual purity is not about getting to a finish line. It's about how you live your life. Please teach the people you have the opportunity to lead that single people are respected in the church. That they are not the second class because they haven't figured out how to get married yet. Please teach two paths to an abundant life to anyone who will listen to you. It matters. It matters. Could we protect the next generation from some of the hurt we feel toward God himself by teaching a better way? Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorned its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from single men. Whoops. That is such a joy to me that just happened. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. There is a race marked out for you. In 2026, there is a path for you. You are not racing the people around you. You are racing the clock. You are trying to get your best time this year. You are trying to have the most impact this year. You are trying to help the gospel go further into places where people do not know who Jesus is. That's your race. Your race is against the one who steals, kills, and destroys, not the friends who are running next to you. We each have our own abundant life path. Whenever I get to do like Q&As at events like this, almost every time I get the question, if you could go back and tell your 25-year-old self something, what would you tell her? What would you tell your college self? I always say the same thing. Wear your retainers. Your parents already paid for braces. Why are you not wearing your retainers? Nighttime for a lifetime. Please wear your retainers or you will be 40 and paying for braces again. That is my testimony. Now I'm nighttime for a lifetime. So listen, if you're in your 20s, just get your retainers tonight. It's going to hurt for about a week, but shove them in there. Get it going again. Get those retainers back in your mouth so you can save about $5,000 in a couple of years. The other thing I always say is fall in love with your life. Fall in love with the life that you have. Get healthy. Don't be in unhealthy situations, but fall in love with the life God has given you. What he has given you is a gift. This is the abundant life, even if it doesn't feel that way today. This is the abundant life. The healthier you get in it, the more you call it what it is, the gift from God that it is, the more you'll see it and believe it. The more you'll model it and teach it for the next generation or for your friends who are just looking to see, what does the church say about the fact that I'm still single? We say, come run with us. Come run with us. So, John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. What has God made possible for you? If you're married, there's an abundant life for you via that path. If you are single, there's an abundant life for you via that path. God has an abundant life for you. Try, hope, believe that Jesus has given you an abundant life. That's what he came for. You know, now that we are finishing this misconception series, these 3 weeks, there's some overarching themes across all the things that Pastor Matt and I have gotten to share with you. One of the themes is there's nothing you've done that will keep you from running with Jesus if that's what you want. If you're not in relationship with Jesus, it's a simple prayer of like, Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner, that you gave your life for me. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. Give me that abundant life that Annie is talking about. I want to walk with you for the rest of my life. Another theme I've seen across the 3 weeks is this idea that God actually has really good plans for us. Not perfect plans, not painless plans, but good plans. You'll figure it out. Don't worry. The thing you're worrying about, don't worry. He has good plans for you. So we're going to finish today just worshiping together. I'm going to pray for us in a second, but we're going to worship together. And it's just a song from Psalm 23 that says, the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of our lives. And God has good plans for you. You are living an abundant life. Congratulations. You're living an abundant life. Let me pray for us. Will you open your hands? Just let the Lord give you something. Jesus, our hands are open because we are available to what you have for us today. Holy Spirit, we're available to a download. Would you just give us eyes to see and ears to hear how you are handing us an abundant life right now? Help us to get healthy in it. Help us to see what is true and real. Our hands are open because we're holding our life up to you and saying, make this even more abundant. Show me how. And our hands are open to you because we're saying, hand us back an abundant life. We'll trade in what we've been doing for what you have to offer. God, I thank you that you have good plans for us. You are trustworthy. You are kind. And you are good. We love you, God. In Jesus' name. Amen.